You go with me to 1 Peter, because as I started to say earlier, I was talking with those here about this feature on just about every smartphone, and I guess you can have it on most landlines, if not every landline, where if someone calls, you know the origin of the call. You know who it is. You know, if it's not a person, if it's, you know, a company, or you know who's being represented by the caller. You know. And sometimes we make some decision. Well, every time we make a choice when we see who it is that called. Sometimes we decide to let it go to voicemail. Sometimes if it doesn't go to voicemail because it came through and we're not home, we'll look at the caller ID and we'll hit erase. I don't want to hear that. You know. And then some people now, if it's voice message, they don't say anything. Well, I certainly don't want to hear that. But I found out that we have a caller ID. It has nothing to do with the telephone, but we have a caller ID to let everybody know who it is that called us and what we have because of it. But we're going to start in 1 Peter 2. I may move faster than usual because I want to try and get through it all. It reads, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government." Amen? Love your spiritual family. That's what we were talking about. Humble yourselves and operate in forgiveness toward your spiritual family. Humble yourself so that you can revere God. Humble yourself so you can respect the government. Amen? Let's go to 2 Peter 2. We're in 1 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. And I'm in the Passion Translation. And again, the title of this message is Caller ID. "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted one. He called you," say, "He called me. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time, you were not God's people, but now you are." See, it doesn't matter what you once were. What's important is, who are you right now? "At one time, you were not God's people. We were not God's people, but now we are. At one time, you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. But now, you're drenched in it." You're drenched in it. Drenched in God's mercy. As we were singing before, his mercy forever. Now, there are a couple of things. That passage starts out by saying, "You are God's chosen treasure." That's a New Testament reference to a couple of Old Testament scriptures. Look at Exodus 19. King James, the next two verses are in King James Version. Exodus 19, verse 5. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God is saying, everything in the earth is mine. You're going to be above all of that. You're going to be a peculiar treasure. Malachi 3:17 says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Well, the word for treasure and jewels is a Hebrew word, and it means special treasure or possession. God is saying, you'll be my special treasure. You'll be my possession. It's used to describe guarded wealth, like the money put into Fort Knox. Guarded better than that. It's like when kings would gather their wealth, their jewels, and put them in a vault that they take extraordinary measures to protect. And God says that each one of his believers is a king and a priest, and we're his unique and special treasure, and we're of great importance to him. A treasure above all treasures. You take everything that you know to be valuable and precious. God placed us above that, above it, and watches it. Watches it. Look at Titus 2. Verse 14, this is out of the Passion Translation. Reads, "He sacrificed himself for us that he might purchase our freedom from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, passionate to do what is beautiful in his eyes." So God said, I'm sacrificing myself because I want you. I want you outright. No strings attached, no lien holders. You are all mine. And you're going to be passionate to do what's beautiful in my eyes. See, he didn't say it's beautiful in your eyes. He said, passionate to do what's beautiful in my eyes. So we can see that God sees us as a special treasure of great importance, whom he guards more than he guards anything else. He guards us. And we read at the end of 2 Peter, he called us. And it gives a reason why he calls us. It says he did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. So that gives us a great hint, really dispels it right out. Why were you called? Well, you're called to broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. Why? People will hear that and receive Christ. That's why. That's why. And he didn't just tell us, because everybody says, okay, be faithful to your calling. He didn't say be faithful to your calling. He told us to live in our calling. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. King James Version. Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Let every man abide. And that Greek word for abide means stay. Let every man stay. Stay in the same calling in which he was called. Let every man live in the same calling. Let every man not depart from the same calling in which he was called. So whatever you were called to 10 years ago, you're to operate today, 10 years later, the same way. God didn't say, well, you can take your foot off the pedal. No. And don't you dare think that you've done enough. You haven't. How do I know that? You still here. That's how I know. That word gives the idea of something that lasts, something that remains, something that persists, something that endures. Something that has lasting power. It also means don't give up. Don't perish. It means to endure. Let every man endure the same calling in which he was called. Why do I have to endure my calling? Because things are going to come up, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. So God is saying no matter what comes, we're to live in and live out our calling. No matter what comes. Is there anything that ever comes that causes God to stop being God? Is there? And we're made in his image and after his likeness, so nothing should be able to stop us from fulfilling his call on our lives. Nothing. Nothing. This is the ministry's 40th anniversary month. Our anniversary was actually on September 7th. I apologize that the wrong date was on the marquee, but we have that corrected. And you could find this, you know, there's great information online about the ministry and the history of the ministry. Please, you can read it. I'm just going to share a snippet that I pulled, I shared with you last time, and we'll share it again. It said, a burning commitment to follow and please God was the motivation that stirred Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to answer the call of God on their lives. To answer the call of God on their lives. Their obedience to the call resulted in them making a life-changing decision. It's important to understand that. See, what we do is we don't have a problem with being called by God as long as we can take the calling and fit it into our life the way our lives are right now. We still want to do what we want to do. I may get God in a little here over on the left. No, what we're supposed to do is take the calling of God, take our lives, and put our lives into God's calling. And I was talking with one of our young adults last time I was here, or maybe on Wednesday. Well, it was the last time I was here. And he shared something I've been thinking about ever since he said it. The call of God is like rolled out cookie dough. Not because I like cookies, that's what he said. Okay. And then what you do is you take a cookie cutter and you don't take all the cookie dough and stuff it into the cutter. You take the cutter and the cutter takes out just what part of that dough it wants to use. What happens to the rest? Stays there. But if you try and put everything you want into that cutter, you're not going to get what you're supposed to get. And it's never going to look like what it's supposed to look like. Not because God can't handle it, because you changed the recipe. You changed the purpose. There's only so much that fits into that cutter. Everything can't fit into it. You said, well, I'll make this dough smaller to get off. What it's designed, what that cutter is designed to take in is all it's going to take in. What that calling on your life is designed to do, your regular life is not going to fit in. So when you answer, anytime you answer the call from God, you're going to notice something. Part of your life is going to drop off. Part of your life is going to drop off. Many times, I know we don't like to hear that. I got real quiet. It'd be nice. It wouldn't be nice because it wouldn't be good for you, for me to stand here and say, answer God's call. You can do God's call and anything else you want to do also. That ain't so. So I can't say it. I'd be lying to you. Something's going to drop off. And usually it's that thing that you spend so much time on, that thing that you think you can't do without. Why does it have to drop off? Because really, technically, we've made it an idol. And you cannot serve God and mammon, and that doesn't just mean money. You can't serve God and anything else that's demanding your service. So Clinton and Sarah Utterbach decided to answer the call on their lives, and that call resulted in them making a life-changing decision to leave their successful careers in order to attend Rhema Bible Training Center. More importantly, their obedience resulted in countless souls, bodies, marriages, and lives being changed for good by the power of God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the Utterbachs had committed their lives to proclaim. They poured their lives into the call of God. And everybody in this room has benefited from that. And those of you online are benefiting from that. If they didn't do what they did, I'm not standing here today. And sometimes we don't yield to the call of God because we look at what we have and we don't think we have enough. God told Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to start a church. They didn't have a church building. And the finances weren't really there to go out and rent something. So what did they have? Their home. And they started Redeeming Love Christian Center in their living room and dining room of their home. How many of you love to let strangers into your home? Those online, not one person raised their hand. Even me. I didn't raise my hand either. But they founded Redeeming Love Christian Center in their home. Why? That's what God provided. And that's what God told them to do. And it's important because too many times we know, you know there's a call of God on your lives. You know it, but it's not convenient. And there are different things that come up or that have come up that cause you to put the call of God on hold for a more convenient time. You want to try and work things out so that you can fulfill the call of God on your life. It doesn't work that way. You'll never be able to work it out. And I'll tell you why. There are a lot of things I'm going to tell you in a little bit. So we have to make sure we abide in the calling and not make the calling fit into our lives, but we're to take our lives and fit it into the calling. Here's where we run into trouble. Acts 20. So I'm talking in the Message Bible. I'm going to start with verse 17. The Message Bible is one of those Bibles that doesn't just stop at every verse. So you got to pick up where you got to pick up. Talking about Paul, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus for the leaders of the congregation. When they arrived, he said, "You know that from day to day on my arrival in Asia, I was with you totally, laying my life on the line, serving the master no matter what, putting up with no end of scheming by Jews who wanted to do me in." I like saying that because that's what my dad always said, used to say. "Man, these people try and do you in." But look what Paul said. Even though he said there was no end to the scheming of the Jews to try and do him in, he said, "I didn't skimp or trim in any way. Every truth and encouragement that could have made a difference to you, you got." He said, "I didn't even think about what it was going to cost me. If you needed it and I had it, I gave it to you." We needed it. The Utterbachs had it. They gave it to us. He says, I taught you in public, I taught you in your homes, urging Jews and Greeks alike to a radical life change before God and an equally radical trust in our Master Jesus. We're trying to do that with the church today concerning politics. Forget about Republican, Democrat, Independent, anything else. You're Christians. We're the church, led by the same Holy Ghost. We need to put our trust in our Master. But in verse 22, Paul said, but there's another urgency before me now. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. And this next part I found very, very important. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen. Paul said, I got this pull. God's calling me to go to Jerusalem, and I have no idea what's going to happen. Why do I think that's key? God calls you, he calls you to do something, and you try and figure out what's going to happen. And instead of getting in line with the call, you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to figure out what you can't figure out. That's like trying to figure out to the absolute end the value of pi. You can't figure it out. It has no end. He says, I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do know that it won't be a picnic. For the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly and clearly that there are hard times and imprisonment ahead. So as Paul is walking on his way to Jerusalem, it's like there's signs up. Paul, we waiting for you. They have painted pictures of jails. This is your next home, buddy. And he kept going anyway. Why? He was called. He was called. He said, but that matters little. Some translations say, but none of these things move me. But in this translation, it said, but that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredible, extravagant generosity of God. Folks, there are always going to be obstacles. There are always going to be bumps and bruises and mountains, whatever you want to call them. Their only purpose is to prevent you from accepting and fulfilling and abiding in the call God placed on your life. That's all they're designed to do. But I found something out that makes all the difference in the world. Not even, no, all the difference in the universe. All the difference. Galatians 6. We're getting into the caller ID part. I'm going to share this in the King James and the Amplified. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You'd say, okay, Pastor, that sounds good, but I don't really feel a hallelujah or anything in there. You know, but listen to it in the Amplified. From now on, let no person trouble me by making it necessary for me to vindicate my apostolic authority and the divine truth of my gospel. For I bear on my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus, the wounds, scars, and other outward evidence of persecution. These testify to his ownership of me. That says it a little differently. Let no one trouble me because I have caller ID. You look at me and you see I belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. God has marked us. Remember what we said earlier? We're special treasures or possessions. We're guarded wealth. God has 24/7 watch over us. We're in a protected place because of our extraordinary value to Him. To Him. He said we're His unique and special treasure, and we're treasured above all other treasures. So when we show up, abiding in our calling, everyone knows we're from God. Everyone knows we're of God. And we're ID'd as His called. They look at us. They see how we're acting. They hear what we're saying. Those are God's folks. Leave them alone. But there's something that goes with God's caller ID because we answered the call. You want to know what it is? Well, I'm not going to say it if only four people want to know. I'll wait and say it at the 12 o'clock service. Folks, this is a very, very simple truth. If you grab hold of it, it will drastically change your life. Do you want it? Romans 8, 28 and 29. I'm going to share it in the King James, the Amplified, and the New Life. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Amplified Bible says it a little differently. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose, for those who are abiding in their calling. But I can't stop there. The New Life Version says we know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are chosen to be a part of His plan. Now think about this. God said He causes all things, or He will make all things work together for the good of those who are His called and who stick with the calling. He will make all. What does all mean? Is there anything left out of all? Are you sure about that? You sure? Well, if He says He will make or He will cause all things to work together for your good because of your caller ID, it says, I belong to Jesus, I belong to Him. What are we sweating? He said, all things He will make work together for your good because you are the called. Yeah, when you were out there, He called. When you answered it, you became the called. And when you abide in the calling, you're fulfilling His purpose. Now, a few questions concerning the word all. Does it include circumstances? Does it? You got to give me rousing answers. Does it include pandemics, persecutions, sickness, family, jobs, enemy? Does it include the devil? Think about that. Because we have the right caller ID, our God will cause the devil to have to work together for our good. Our God will make the devil work together for our good. So we have no reason to reject the call. If it falls under the category of thing, God will make absolutely sure it will work together with all the other resources for our good. And it has to do with whether it likes it or not. There are people that may have, I know there were folks that had some negative things to say about our founding pastors. They didn't like them for whatever reason. There are folks that have things to say about me. Can you imagine that? Me? And even Pastor Ed. But you know what that means? Even though they don't like us, God's going to have them support the ministry. And we keep loving them anyway. Some we know who they are, some we don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're going to have to work together according to God's plan for this ministry's life for good. Because we're sticking to the calling. You don't ever want to turn off your caller ID. You don't want, when they look at you, see, you don't want them to see restricted. And you certainly don't want unidentified. Okay. You want folks to know that you belong to God and that he sent you and that you are abiding in your calling, in his calling for your life. You're living in it. You're not leaving it. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And here's some tag-alongs. Isaiah 54. In the Message Bible, for time's sake, I'll read it quickly. Afflicted city, storm-battered, upheaved. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. All your children will have God for their teacher. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up the forge and makes the weapons designed to kill. I also create the destroyer, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. This is what God's servant, this is what those called by God can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. God said he would see to it that if we have on his caller ID, we'll be identified as the called. I got to show you one more. Romans 8. Verse 31 is in the Passion Translation. So what does all this mean? If God is determined to stand with us, tell me, who then can ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not Guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? And who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder God's omnipotent love. Even though it's written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them. We triumph over them. For God has made us to be more than conquerors and has demonstrated love, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there's nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. Life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present. Listen to this. There's nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. Folks, you have been called. You have been ID'd. The call will never leave you. You're not released from the calling until God says it's satisfied. You keep loving him. You stay tuned into his purpose, abiding in the same calling in which you were originally called, making sure everyone can clearly see your ID. And God will make sure that everything concerning you will work together for your good. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whatever that call is that you've placed on hold, take it off hold. End the previous call and take it off hold. And don't ever put it on hold again. Before I let you go, is there anyone here? This is a call now. You're being called. If you've never received Jesus Christ, you're being called right now. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, well, I want everybody to repeat this confession. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as Savior and you say this confession and mean it for the first time, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, you'll be born again. Because it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. So say this with me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you loved me so much, you died on the cross for my sins, you went to hell in my place, and after 3 days in hell, you were raised from the dead. So Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I'm turning towards you. I want your caller ID on me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, if there's anyone here who confessed that for the very first time, according to the Bible, you just got born again. And if you're sitting here in this service, I'd ask that you just identify yourself so we can give you some free information to just help you get started. If you did it online, you see the contact information up there. Contact us. Let us know. I said that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. What's my next step? And we'll send you free information to let you know all of those details, exactly what just took place and what you want to do next. And if you have any questions about anything that I shared, use the same contact information and send me a note, a letter, a card, an email, whatever you want to do. I may not get back, I may not respond to it the same day, but I promise you, I will respond. Amen? Remember, say, I have God's caller ID all over me. And he will work all things together for my good because I love him and I'm abiding in his calling. God bless you. See you next time.